schools in rural juvenile detention centers did not get any of the new education funding distributed across the state last year, including money for teacher raises. From KJZZ's Education Desk, Mariana Dale reports a proposal at the state legislature would provide the first increase in state funding to these schools in almost 25 years.
Before I can enter the Yavapai County Juvenile Justice Center, I walk through a metal detector, and a guard makes sure my audio equipment isn't a weapon or other contraband. Principal Marvy McNeese takes me through four secure doors to the classroom. Once I'm inside, it feels familiar.
There's bookshelves and a globe and the flag and...
Yeah, and we have a library.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's like a regular, it is a regular classroom.
There are a few differences, though. The teachers sharpen pencils for students, and the writing utensils are numbered so none leave the classroom. Today, there are about 20 teens. One of the challenges for teachers in detention centers is that the class size changes from day to day.
When they first come in, we know their name and their age. That is all we know.
The teachers assess kids' reading, math, and language skills and get them enrolled in the right classes within hours. McNeese says there were about 1,100 students in rural juvenile detention schools last year.
It's a smaller, concentrated population of kids with higher needs, both emotional and academic.
McNeese says a fifth of her students need special education. The principal says her school is seeing fewer federal dollars and most of their funding has always come from the state. Schools like hers receive $20,000 a year plus $15 a day for each student. She says that's not enough.
The services for our most needy population are going to be compromised.
The Yavapai County Detention School has the luxury of multiple teachers. That's not the case in smaller juvenile detention centers like the one where Dana Gallardo works in Santa Cruz County.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Gallardo spoke at a legislative committee earlier this month. She said staff at the detention center school has been reduced from six people to just her.
I'm the education director there, and I'm the teacher. And I'm the intake person and the registrar, and I do everything there now because our funds have been cut so drastically.
In Pinal County, Superintendent Jill Broussard had to go to local elected leaders and ask for more money 2 years ago.
If we couldn't get some relief in the funding area, we would have to close the school, and that would cause us to have to close the facility.
With an infusion of more than $100,000 from the county, Broussard kept the school open. There's been a statewide push to incarcerate fewer young people. The juvenile detention centers in Graham, Greenlee, Gila, Navajo, and Apache counties have all closed. So the Pinal County School serves teens incarcerated from those counties, too.
They're kids in a bad situation or that made a bad choice, and I think that they deserve a great education and a good opportunity to move forward with their life.
Arizona law requires juvenile detention centers to offer an education program. That's because there was a class action lawsuit filed in 1986 by a detainee. The funding formula for juvenile detention center schools was part of the resulting reforms. It hasn't changed since the 1990s.
The funding that we have in place right now in statute to fund those educational efforts for our incarcerated youth is not adequate.
Senator Heather Carter sponsored a bill that would increase the base level funding for these schools to $100,000 a year and per student funding to $25 per day. The goal is to give every school enough money for at least one certified teacher and more supplies.
The amount is such a small amount, but has such a big impact.
The bill has passed the Senate and awaits hearings in the House. In the meantime, educators like Marvy McNeese and Prescott help students achieve their goals with existing funding.
We had last week a 16-year-old pass his GED, and he is the first person in his whole family to have earned anything academic.
This student got to sign his name to the whiteboard wall in McNeese's office. It joins a growing list of those who earned their GED.
They don't believe in themselves. So when they understand what they can accomplish with work, hard work, and determination, it's magical.
McNeese says the school within the juvenile detention center can expose students to opportunities they didn't realize existed. Mariana Dale, KJZZ News, Prescott.
And now KJZZ's Mariana Dale joins me in the studio to talk more about this. Good morning, Mariana.
Hi, Lauren.
So you ended the story there with an anecdote about this teenager who was able to earn his GED while in a juvenile detention center. What other opportunities are available to these students?
Specifically in Yavapai County, teens who are incarcerated can work toward high school credit, their GED. They can also take community college classes online. But what's available to these students really depends on the school and the kind of resources that they have.
Yeah. So Arizona overhauled its juvenile detention centers in the 90s, and the catalyst was this class action lawsuit, right? Can you tell us what happened there?
Yes, I took a little field trip to the state archives to read a bunch of newspapers from the time. What happened was that in 1986, a young man named Matt Johnson, he was incarcerated north of Tucson, filed a civil rights lawsuit in federal court. It actually became a class action lawsuit with the addition of dozens of other detainees who said that they had been denied special education while they were in detention.
So what was the outcome of the suit?
It took 7 years to kind of work its way through the process, but a federal judge ordered the reform of Arizona's juvenile detention centers. That included making the centers safer, giving young people incarcerated access to education programs, and protecting them from excessive punishment. But as you might guess, anything to do with the legal system, those changes weren't instantaneous. Yeah. It took a lot of money that hadn't been previously designated to juvenile detention programs, and it took a lot of bureaucratic reorganizing.
Right. And now it seems like the landscape of juvenile detention centers is changing again.
Yeah, there's been a push to divert juveniles out of detention centers while they await the adjudication of their cases. In at least 5 counties, the juvenile detention centers have closed. That's kind of a cost-saving measure, and also as the enrollment or the number of people in them has dropped. But that also brings up some new concerns. Now, for example, young people that are detained in Apache County are shifted to a detention center hundreds of miles away in Florence. They're away from their families, and they're out of their communities.
Yeah. You actually visited one of those schools in your story. What was it like?
Aside from the increased security, a lot like a typical school. There was computers, books, maps. The day I went, students were learning about the justice system as it related to Abe Lincoln's assassination. They were working on how to write paragraphs. One thing that's different from a traditional school is the number of instructional days. It's 225 versus 180 in a regular school. That means more learning for students, but it also means that teachers there have less time off than those that work in traditional schools, something that is another challenge when they're looking to hire teachers, if they can even afford to hire teachers in the first place.
Yeah. All right. Mariana, thank you for your reporting on this. When will you have an update on whether the proposal to fund these schools is successful in the legislature?
Good question. The bill needs a hearing in the House Rules Committee, or because there is money attached to it, it could become part of larger budget discussions at the Capitol, and those discussions are always really hard to predict.
All right, we'll keep an eye out. That's KJZZ's Mariana Dale. Thank you so much.